The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency says it wants to succeed in the open by being a voracious consumer of imagery gathered by private companies. And the agency wants to provide as much of its own analytical work as possible to the public at large. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more on how NGA says it's leading the intelligence community's drive for more transparency.
The agency's director, Robert Cardillo, says NGA has no choice but to learn how to straddle the entirely classified world in which it used to operate and the new reality in which commercial firms are producing the very types of products it depends on to generate reliable intelligence estimates. At a conference the agency organized jointly with Georgetown University, Cardillo said the explosion in commercially available, constantly updated satellite imagery, the kind of thing that until the mid-1990s was the sole providence of nation-states, dwarfs what the government could do on its own.
Those sensors, right, flown by U.S. companies and foreign companies and foreign countries, have created a new awareness of our planet in ways we've never had it before. So that's by definition more open. I suppose we could choose to try to raise our wall higher and keep our classified world, you know, more segregated. Right. I happen to think that that's a losing proposition for two reasons. One, it would be denying the reality that my customer lives in both worlds. And so I've got to be able to cross those as well. And two, I think there's great value in that. We're quite excited about NGA, about Secretary Carter's engagement in Silicon Valley. We're looking on our own and with Secretary Carter at ways that we can leverage the innovations that's happening through the evolution of these new capabilities. The way I see it, as the commercial capability rises, I want to add my value on top of that new foundation. Doesn't mean we won't still have, you know, exquisite capabilities that need and should be protected from adversaries' understanding, but it does mean we should be open about what we can offer to the scientific understanding of the Arctic, to the medical needs in Ebola, and to the recovery needs in Nepal. We did all three of those things on the World Wide Web.
The vast array of new geospatial data sources being launched by commercial companies range from traditional geosynchronous satellites to small sats and drones. Advances in technology have brought those endeavors within reach for a wide variety of companies, each with their own business reasons for doing so. But Cardillo says NGA is agnostic as to those companies' motivations. It simply wants to be a consumer of their data.
We've been in the commercial imagery business for a long time. I have a mission partner called Digital Globe, which essentially I can't do my job today without them. And they're not a startup. Okay, this is a major company providing significant effort to both my mapping, charting, geodesy, and my intelligence mission. Yep, there are more people joining this field in different ways, and some of them are doing it for Google's got their particular reason for putting up satellites. Planet Labs has a different kind of vision for their contribution. I'm relatively agnostic as to why they're putting them up. I'm just looking forward to seeing how I might be able to leverage the fact of them putting them up.
Cardillo says there are other important ways in which NGA has evolved from an organization whose main purpose was to study and analyze data from government satellites. The agency's analytical products are increasingly relying on non-traditional intelligence sources, including ones that don't have much to do with looking down from the sky. For instance, in the case of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, the jetliner that was shot down over Ukraine last year, the agency's role in figuring out what actually happened was assisted by open-source intelligence.
Within 24 hours, 48 at the outside, we knew 90% of what we eventually knew. So that was kind of the physicality of what happened, altitude, speed, missile detection, etc. But then, the attribution is the key question, right? Now, we being the IC leaned heavily on social media, open press, etc., because everyone in here, I presume, has their smartphone, they have a sensor. You'll also document things that are happening around you. We work with the Open Source Center, okay, a DNI enterprise, to understand what else could we find out beyond our capabilities about possible attribution. And part of that story became local, social media postings, in the town from which the missile emanated, which helped then wasn't dispositive in and of itself, but contributed to that 90% that helped us tell that whole story.
Cardillo says the transition toward openness NGA is trying to achieve will also necessitate some workforce changes. He says his agency's future employees, 600 of whom will be hired in the next year despite budget challenges, will need to be able to work on classified and public information at the same time.
When I was hired into this business, you know, I was taken into a very dark room, scared about security, and signed 18 different things. I think my firstborn was somewhere obligated in case I violated any of these. And I shouldn't make light. It was important to have that. But then I was raised in this thou shalt not mentality.
Right.
You know, you just can't afford to risk any exposure of our capabilities. Today's workforce, and the one that if we are successful here, is going to have to be much more both comfortable and agile in moving back and forth. And arguably, that's a much more difficult existence, right? To be able to do both. Because I don't want to give you the message that when I say succeed in the open is we're just going to take off all the classification, do all our work completely openly, because there are nefarious actors on this planet that would benefit greatly from that. And we need to be able to protect sources and methods still. So, look, I don't control the personnel system in the U.S. government, but I think our personnel system needs to become more agile. I'd be much happier. I think the agency would be much healthier if I had greater movement between academia, industry, and my workspace.
James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, says new openings for intelligence employees are down across the entire intelligence community. And while the ODNI can't do much on its own to make it easier for private sector employees to move into government work, or vice versa, it is at least working to let IC employees move from one federal agency to another.
Well, the advice I give, particularly in this age of budgetary austerity, is be patient. Don't get myopic. Don't just target, I want to join agency X. You should, if you're interested in the intelligence community, apply to all of them. There are all interesting, challenging things you can do, and we're putting a lot of emphasis on joint duty, on mobility among IC employees anyway, so if you join the IC, you'll have the opportunity to move. The point is, there's interesting work to do, challenging work, rewarding work everywhere in the intelligence community, and as a contractor. I was a contractor myself for a while working for the intelligence community. They're part of our team, and we couldn't do our mission without them. So advice point one is apply everywhere, and point two is just be patient and persevere.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500.